The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, look who is now making his way to the world-famous Octagon, flanked by UFC CEO Dana White, 45, soon to be 47, President-elect Donald Trump.
I wish the people at your home could hear the sound in this room.
It's so loud in here.
It is so loud. It's always loud when he comes here, but yes. Now that he's the president again.
Trump's iconic dance moves are sweeping the internet and winning him a lot of fans across the globe. Trump's dance moves were on show throughout and even after his election campaign. And it seems like everyone wants to hop on the bandwagon.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I said, young man.
How do you explain all of this? I mean, things that you never could have imagined happening just a couple years ago. And now it's sweeping the nation. It's sweeping the internet. Everybody, as you heard there, wants to get on the Trump bandwagon. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning, a rainy one here in central Oklahoma. We've gotten more rain than usual this fall, heading into the winter months. We certainly need it, though, to keep things green around here for as long as possible. In any event, get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or go to the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go to Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up to up our rating. We've also got the evening replay on LFA TV. That too is a channel over at Rumble. So I've mentioned this book by Lee Smith, the first chapter of which, well, the book's called Disappearing the President. Lee Smith, by the way, he's going to be on this show in December. I believe it's December 11. We're getting all of the final details ironed out for that visit. So he'll be here. He'll be giving a public address here on campus that particular day, and then of course he'll be on this program as well. We're going to have him address the students, so we're going to pack as much into that visit as possible. So that's coming up. What's today? November 18th. So just about three and a half weeks away from where we are now. But this book, his recent book, The Disappearing the President, the opening chapter is called Silencing. And he starts his book by quoting from Donald Trump, who said, I had no voice, says Donald Trump. He's talking about the campaign to silence him and drive him out of public life after the 2020 presidential election. They tried to drive him out of public life. And now, morning meltdown, Joe and Mika, they're groveling before Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago over the weekend. I mean, this has just happened in three and a half years. You have to, and this may not be a popular message, but you look at what's sweeping the nation right now, And it does kind of have some of the same elements that we saw in 2008, 2009. I played the video last week. 10 minutes of Obama. He was going to save the world. Now, it's in a lot of ways, it's a lot different because Obama's a communist and wanted to destroy, even blot out the name of Israel. And Donald Trump's a patriot. But still, the Bible says, I mean, we can't put our faith in a man. In fact, Jeremiah 17:5 says that we're cursed if we do that. Is this going to save America? Well, God's doing something temporarily. And it is. I mean, it's miraculous. There's no getting around it. He said Jeroboam would come back. He said Donald Trump would return. And we've seen it. We've seen it happen. And now you've got all these football players doing the Trump dance in the end zone. How do you explain this? Sweeping the nation. Everyone, it seems, is getting on board the Trump train. 2 Kings 14 and verse 27 says, "And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he," that would be God, "he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam." God did it. He did it through a man. But look, God just did that. And we just witnessed it. We're not even 2 weeks removed from that historic election. The Washington Examiner has a title, "Biden was the fluke in 2020, not Trump in 2016. That's exactly right. Trump, I mean, it has been three straight presidential elections. Trump's won them all. We're seeing God silence Obama. I have another article in the stack that says the Democrat Party's in the wilderness. It's been that way. It's not like Trump was an aberration in 2016. No, Joe Biden was in 2020 because they stole it. Trump won. It was a close race in 2016. He had to fight against a lot for 4 years. He won again in 2020, and then he won just 2 weeks ago. I mean, that's pretty dominant. And he's going against all these forces, like he said at the opening of Lee Smith's book. I mean, his voice was silenced. He went from being silenced to now the dance is sweeping across the nation. How does this happen? These are not normal times. We're witnessing some stunning prophecies as they're being fulfilled. I played this clip for you last week, Jesse Waters saying this just 3 days after the November 5 election. He says the country already looks different. New York City saying no mas to free food for illegals. The caravans in Mexico are breaking up. Toyota saying they're going to invest more in gas-powered cars. Europe wants to buy energy from the U.S. instead of Russia. Qatar's kicking Hamas out. The Dow hits an all-time high. Jack Smith's dropping the case. He says America's healing. America's different. America's different in just a matter of days. And now you see the Trump dance. Even sports stars, more celebrities even, coming out of the woodwork, coming out of the shadows. They're all aboard. Listen to this one from Jesse Waters. This is from Friday last week, clip three.
Trump's unifying the country, and he hasn't even been sworn in yet. This isn't an ideological revolution. This is a country that's sick, corrupt, and in debt. Workers can't afford food. The border's wide open, and there's a dude in your daughter's locker room. Trump promised to fix it. And if you're not helping, you're part of the problem. Complaining and name-calling isn't going anywhere. This is a new age. The tricks they tried in the past aren't going to work anymore. Country's not having it.
A new age. It seems so unlikely. Even months ago, certainly a year or two ago. And now look at where we are. We've entered into a new age. I mentioned Joe and Mika inviting themselves, probably pleading to get into Mar-a-Lago so that they could sit down, you know, sit down with Adolf Hitler. Why not? I mean, the ratings must be in the toilet for MSNBC. That you see all these reports of them shedding like 50% of their audience since November 5. And so here goes Joe and Mika. Here they are talking this morning about their meeting with Trump just a couple days ago, clip 4.
On Friday, we were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. Spoken to President Trump since March of 2020, other than a personal call Joe made to Trump on the morning after the attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania. In this meeting, President Trump was tearful. He was upbeat. He seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. And for those asking why we would go speak to the president-elect during such fraught times, especially between us, I guess I would ask back, why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't you? Well, maybe because he's Hitler. That's what you've been telling us for 8 years. I saw this morning. I thought of that springtime for Hitler in Germany. It's a little before my time. I didn't see the movie. I've seen a clip. The musical, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they set out to make a musical that would be just horribly unpopular, and it turned out to be the opposite. As they sung and danced their way to springtime with Hitler. Here's Joe and Mika. The ratings, as I say, they must be horrific. As they reach out to Donald Trump, Adolf Hitler, to throw them a lifeline, to rescue them. And you'll notice. You'll note it. We reached out. We thought it'd be good to talk. And for those that think we shouldn't, I mean, why not? What about having just an ounce of remorse? How about apologizing to your audience? You know what? We really didn't think he was Hitler. We didn't want him to win. He did. And we've got to meet in the middle. This is sweeping the nation. Everybody getting behind Donald Trump. Even morning meltdown. Someone was suggesting we rename that to morning backdown. They have backed down. They've called off the dogs. They see what everyone else is seeing. They're watching Sunday afternoon football and seeing people do the Trump dance on national TV. How do you explain these times that we're in and just how quickly things have changed? And a lot would say for the better. But again, we want you to step back and see this from God's perspective. Look through the lens of 2 Kings 14, Amos 7, America under attack. Make sure you call our operators and request your free copy if you don't have it already, but just as a demonstration here to show how fast, how dramatic, how fast and furious all of these changes have happened. This was Bill Barr just a little over a year ago. You know, the rhino Bill Barr. He's on with CNN. He's talking about how horrible Trump is. Here's clip 5.
He ran as the weakest person on the Republican ticket. Like in Pennsylvania, he came in 60,000 votes below the Republican ticket. So he's losing Republican votes. This is one of the reasons I oppose him for the Republican nomination, because he has this penchant for engaging in these reckless acts that create these calamitous situations and then undercut the cause he is supposed to be leading.
Trump, his attacks on Jack Smith, I mean, he calls him deranged.
To me, it's amazing that you read through the indictment and his behavior in that indictment. And it's nauseating. It's despicable behavior. Whether it's criminal or not, someone who engaged in that kind of bullying about a process that is fundamental to our system and to our self-government shouldn't be anywhere near the Oval Office. And for him to be attacking a prosecutor who is investigating that, with all the epithets and so forth, which he has no basis for, as far as I can tell, you know, is ridiculous.
And you're speaking out a lot. I mean, not a lot, but you make your decision to come and do interviews like you're doing this one here tonight. Is that so you're trying to make sure that Trump is not the nominee?
Yes, yes, because I think the Republican Party is a great opportunity. When you look at our states like Florida, Georgia, Virginia, we have conservative governors who are winning substantial victories, broadening the party, bringing people in. And I think that can be done on the national level by any of our candidates, but Trump. Trump has already shown that he cannot forge that kind of decisive victory at the national level. He's a three-time loser, and I think he will clearly lose again on the national level.
You wonder how many of these sound bites the talking heads just wish would go away. He's incapable of uniting the country. He's a three-time loser. Everyone, all these governors in red states could unite everybody behind them. DeSantis, Youngkin, but not Trump. Trump's a loser, says Bill Barr. That was in August of last year, barely a year ago. And now look at where we are. This is from Liberal Patriot. It says, as Democrats dig out from their debacle, it's important for them to understand just how far away they now are from the days of the Obama coalition. The days of Barack Hussein Obama. Remember when they swooned? Remember when he was sweeping the nation? The world, in fact. He went to Germany and spoke in 2008, and something like 200,000 people showed up. He was taking the world by storm. He was going to save the world. A lot of people put their hope in that man. Their hope for the world in that man. It says in 12 short years, they have lost two of three elections to Donald Trump. It should be three. Bill Barr is completely wrong. Trump is a winner. He's won every single time. What's his winning record as far as endorsements go? Isn't it something like 90% of those he endorses win their elections? And here he's won three straight presidential elections and had no political experience coming in. What is going on? These are not normal times for the United States of America. The whole world sweeping the nation, the Trump bandwagon. It says here, three elections to Donald Trump. That's my editorializing added in. And huge chunks of support from key demographics, including most of their rising constituencies. They need to face the uncomfortable fact that not only did the Obama coalition not come back, it's likely never coming back. How about that? I've got about eight other articles. I won't have time to get to them all. Showing that God has silenced Barack Obama, just like we've been saying. Just like is prophesied in Amos 7. We've witnessed it. We've seen it happen. God silencing Barack Obama. And then we're seeing this administration, having learned a few lessons from the first term, starting in 2017, moving with some pace. I mean, coming out strong from the starting blocks, nominating all of these, well, the mainstream media would say, these underqualified individuals or dangerous individuals, if it's Matt Gaetz or Tulsi. This is from Real Clear. It says here, the president-elect alone, I alluded to this on Friday, not his senior staff and certainly not any outside organization is calling the shots. The one thing Bobby Kennedy would never be the Health and Human Services Secretary. So said Howard Lutnick, the co-chair of the Trump Transition Committee. This is a guy working directly for Trump. He said, no, it would never be Bobby Kennedy. No, no. It says here, just days before the election, he told CNN, this is Lutnick, that Kennedy was not getting a job for HHS. Asked anchor Caitlin Collins, he would not be in charge of HHS? And Lutnick replied, no, of course not. And then Trump appoints him. The point of the article, Trump's calling the shots. He's got his transition committee. He's got his advisors and support and all that. But he's making the decisions. He did it with Gates as well. He's a king-like figure. He's got popular support. His dance, of all things, is sweeping the nation. You see it all over the sports world. As I was saying over the weekend, what we want to do, seeing these prophecies being fulfilled, we want to make sure we're aware of what the rest of the prophecies say, particularly in Amos 7. And again, so much of that's brought out in America Under Attack. And we'll keep you informed on this program. Tomorrow's news today, right? If you haven't subscribed to our monthly magazine, make sure you call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription. The 800 number right there, 1-866-930-3024. I thought this was interesting, too. I forget who's on with Jesse Waters here, but it was one of the Trump policy advisors just comparing the first term and now this term and then what was going on there in the middle. Clip two.
I was in the last White House. I was in charge of President Trump's domestic policy agenda and a few other projects. And it took us a while to figure it out. It took a while to figure out the team around President Trump that would make those transformational changes. And the great pause, which is what I call the last 4 years, has allowed us to prepare in a way that we may never have been able to do before.
All right. She calls the last 4 years a pause. Which is interesting, given something my father has said. I'll give you that quote in just a second. But first, listen to this from Donald Trump. This is from 2 years ago, clip one.
And one of the beautiful things of the pause, if there is such a thing, is a beautiful thing. But one of the important factors of the pause is that we see how bad they've done. So we will be able to do it properly, and it will be much easier. Everybody will agree with us because everybody sees what a bad job has been done during this 2-year period, and it will be a 4-year period. Everybody sees that. It will be much easier for us to do what has to be done.
It'll be much easier to get everybody on board. Everybody's going to see it. During this pause, they're going to see what Barack Obama's done to the nation. They're going to see this fundamental transformation. They're going to suffer because of it, bitter affliction. And because of this, MAGA will sweep the nation. And we've seen it. We've seen it. My father in America Under Attack. Again, this is the book. This is the one we've had in circulation since 2013, over 10 years now. And in this book, he's writing about Amos 7 and verse 8, God giving us a final warning. It says, and then verse 9 describes a time of desolation, wasting, and the sword. It says, and God forewarns that he himself will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. And then my father says this, I believe there is, in fact, a pause in the events between verses 8 and 9. And that we are in this prophesied pause now, after the election coup that stole the presidency from Mr. Trump, but before he returns to power. I mean, think about how accurate this forecast was. We're in the pause, but he's going to return to power. God will see to it. It was a pause because he still was the rightful president. I mean, he left peacefully. Never mind what the morning meltdown and others say. He left peacefully January 20th, 2021. And as he explained in Lee Smith's book, he had no voice. He had been silenced. He was leaving forever. the way that the regime media, the way they talked, he was gone. He was just like Bill Barr said last year. He's a loser, three-time loser. He loses all the time. These people couldn't have got it more wrong. God's forecast is right. And that's what we've been trumpeting. That's what we've been giving to you. It says, look around. This is my father. Look around today. This country is in a catastrophe. Radicals are destroying the nation. My father's writing this. This was during the pause. They're destroying the nation, foolishly thinking that somehow they will be able to control these ruinous and anarchic forces that they are unleashing. And this trouble is certain to lead to worse trouble. And so, as Trump said there 2 years ago, the pause is actually helping to galvanize a populist movement, the MAGA movement. And it has, in fact, swept the nation. You're seeing it happen. Not even 2 weeks removed from the November 5 election. This is from Newsweek. It says, when President-elect Donald Trump was first elected in 2016, he talked about draining the swamp and fundamentally changing Washington. Trump's administration could count many successes, especially on the economy and trade, and in curbing illegal immigration. It says, yet the D.C. establishment and its army of federal bureaucrats survived more or less intact. Indeed, many of these deep state warriors at the DOJ, the FBI, and intelligence agencies played a role in aiding and abetting the Russia collusion hoax and did so much to undermine Trump's first years in office. This opinion piece, it's just highlighting the differences between that first term, and then you've got the pause, and now you have Donald Trump storming back. I wish you could hear how loud it is in here, said one of those commentators in the cold open. Part of the problem was that many of Trump's appointments to key posts, including cabinet secretaries, failed him, with most of those who would normally serve in Republican administrations shunning him. Trump had few loyalists able to take on major responsibilities. His first cabinet picks were often establishment figures. They were either not on board with his reformist goals or lacked the will to prevent the permanent government employees in their departments from slow walking or sabotaging Trump's agenda. It's very different this time around. This time around, he's deciding. Don Jr. said it on Maria yesterday. He learned from those mistakes during the first term. He knows now who's loyal, who's disloyal, who's establishment, and who's wanting to change, make change? Who's wanting to improve or fix the problems that we see all around? I got into Bobby Kennedy as the HHS guy last week. I think it was Friday's show. I thought this was pretty hilarious from the New York Times. Fact-checking Bobby Kennedy on what he said about Fruit Loops. How different the cereal is here in the States compared to in Canada, how that you've got all these additional ingredients. Here's the New York Times saying, no, Bobby Kennedy got it all wrong, and here are the details which prove Bobby Kennedy got it all right. Listen to this fact check. Again, the comedy script writes itself these days. Kennedy has singled out Fruit Loops as an example of a product with too many artificial ingredients, questioning why the Canadian version has fewer than the U.S. version. But he was wrong. The ingredient list is roughly the same, although Canada's has natural colorings made from blueberries and carrots, while the U.S. product contains red dye 40, yellow 5, and blue 1, as well as butylated hydroxyl whatever, or BHT, a lab-made chemical that is used for freshness. They're making his point. They're proving his point. And patting themselves on the back for exposing Kennedy's error. These are the people that would say Bobby Kennedy coming in and being appointed to where he's appointed, oh, it's just preposterous. It's dangerous. You've got all these people lining up at the FDA and wherever else saying they're going to resign the moment he gets in there. That probably would help the agency right there on day one. Mass resignations in among the federal bureaucrats? What a blessing. This is a good thing. I've played this clip before from, I might have played it Friday, Callie and Casey Means. I think this is Casey, the brother, who was talking with Tucker a while back, clip 11.
I wanted to be contributing to politics from an early age and went to Stanford to go back into politics, studied economics, political science, went straight back to campaigns after school. What I learned quickly is that in campaigns over, you work for the biggest spenders in D.C., and I found myself across the desk from food industry and the farm industry. The farm industry spends five times more in D.C. than the oil industry. By far the biggest spender. Bipartisan, you're working for pharma.
Yeah, a message I gave over the weekend, I was just talking about how to see these decisions, to see the new administration preparing for January 20th so that they can hit the ground running. I mean, I've made this point before. They're working with pace. There's a sense of urgency. And it just makes me think about the soon coming kingdom of God when it's established on this earth and all of Jesus Christ's assistants, his government administration, everyone will have qualified for these positions. We can thank God that there won't be any elections at that point, but there will be a lot of appointments. God himself appointing the leaders of tomorrow to assist Jesus Christ so that we can hit the ground running when that world government is set up. Just coming back to Bobby Kennedy as an example, this was Dr. Oz, I believe it was, on with Sean Hannity last week, clip 12.
But these issues are not new issues. We've been talking about, I certainly did on my show for 13 years. It's very hard to get America mobilized because they've been told for years that these are safe things. Don't worry about the drinking water. You're fine with those chemicals. The plastics aren't a big issue. And then we start seeing autism rates and infertility rates and cancer rates and general life expectancy start to drop. And I think by appointing someone who's known to speak his mind, even though it's disruptive to your comfort at times, and someone who believes in giving you the freedom to make informed choice, but to do that, you've got to be able to say what you are observing is happening with the basic infrastructure of health in America. But let me share something with you that I think is vital that has not been brought up. I believe that the 86,000 workers at Health and Human Services, and they're in 17 institutes, I believe many of them, maybe most of them, will welcome RFK. You know why? Because they're getting smothered under corporate capture. These agencies aren't actually free to do what they want to do frequently, and RFK is not going to tolerate that.
86,000 employees, 17 institutes. And as I said last week, here we are. We're sicker than ever before, spending more money on healthcare than ever before. You would think everyone, maybe he's right, maybe they will, you know, the mid-level bureaucrats, maybe they will welcome Bobby Kennedy with open arms. But why is the establishment dead set against it? Just given the track record, just looking at the fruits or lack thereof, looking at the sickness, looking at the disease, looking at the autism, looking at our children, looking at our own people when at the beach or wherever. God says to judge by fruits. God says there's a law that is cause and effect. And when dealing with any bad effect, you've got to go to the cause. And in certain areas, that's what RFK wants to do. Look, why do we need all these preservatives, these food colorings, to just make it more orange or more yellow? It's hurting people. Why do we need the color? Isn't it about food and nutrition? It should be. And they would say that he's crazy, this man. They tried to silence him for 19 years, as I covered on the program Friday. And it's pretty remarkable, his story, the fact that he's prayed every day for 19 years to be put in a position where he can help America's children, where he can help Americans to get healthier. Here's a little bit more from that Hannity segment, clip 13.
All right, let's talk about our current healthcare system. You know, we have, what, $4.5 trillion health budget for chronic illness. We have the world's biggest health bill. 77% of young adults can't qualify for the military. And is it true that Europe won't accept much of our food because the ingredients that we put in food here is banned there?
100% true. And this is the irony of the whole situation. The current healthcare system in this country is unsustainable. And the experts who brought us these problems are the ones who are complaining about the proposed appointment of RFK Jr. And it's frustrating because if you look at the burden on our economy, I'll get to the human illness element to it, because there's an illness industrial complex without question that's plaguing our population. But 90% of the $4.5 trillion in the health budget is for chronic illness, Sean. $1 in 5 US dollars in our GDP is for healthcare, but of that money, 90% is for these chronic illnesses that weren't even in existence in terms of a treatment 60 years ago when RFK's uncle was president. We've got the world's biggest health bill, but this is ironic and tragic. We have worse outcomes than many of the countries that we normally are thinking of competing with.
It's just going to be interesting to see. My father's made the point so many times about Trump being especially good at identifying problems, evil, lawlessness, sickness. It'll be interesting. Some of us were talking over the weekend. How much of a dent can you make in the, when you've got the world's biggest health bill, the world's unhealthiest nation, all of these trillions of dollars, these different institutes and agencies, tens of thousands of federal employees, most of the budget for HHS going toward welfare programs, handouts, Medicare. They'll probably have to work around the edges, trying to just hem it in a little bit. But how do you, when Americans are addicted to welfare, much like they're addicted to addictive foods that are unhealthy, how do you heal over that? How do you remove the sickness? I mean, good for some people that are trying to go and deal with the cause. I'll be fascinated with Elon Musk and Vivek to see how much success they have in just trimming the fat in government programs. Musk has said he thinks they can shave off $2 trillion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of waste. How did we get to this point? How do your leaders waste so much money? Just throw it away. Throw it to the wind. How do these agencies get so big, so huge? Really, I mean, what we're seeing as part of all this is just how government, man-made government, even in the most blessed, prosperous nation in human history, we're seeing how man-made government is broken. It won't work. It can't work. When you put your faith, your trust in man, in something man-made, there may be some hoopla and some excitement up front. Oh yeah, he's going to save the world. He's going to save everything. Everything's going to get better. It's going to heal the divide. How long does it take, though, for reality to set in? I mean, we had some pretty important articles back in the day, 2009, 2010, saying that the celebration, you know, it's not going to last forever. I mean, look at where Obama is today. As I say, there's a stark difference between him. He hates his country. He hates America. He hates those founding institutions. And Trump is not like that. But we're certainly seeing a fervor. It's sweeping the nation. People have come out of the woodwork to show their support. Joe Rogan over the weekend, he's explaining, you know, why it is that he now likes Trump. Used to be a Democrat, used to despise him. Same with Elon. These are not normal times that we're living through. Listen to one more from that Sean Hannity segment, clip 14.
I mean, President Trump is promising to this movement, Make America Great movement, that he wants to make us strong and safe, and with MAHA, make us healthy. You need all three, right? If we're not healthy, we can't defend ourselves. If our young people can't serve in the military, we're not going to be able to do our best to keep ourselves safe from foreign intrusion. And this is the kind of issue that health has become in this country.
I mean, you used to hear, like JFK used to be big on health and fitness for young people in particular. He made a direct connection between a nation's physical health and its growth and prosperity. Now there's just a very few, a handful. And we're, you know, as I was saying on Friday's show, I mean, what about the spiritual sickness that you see top to bottom? Isaiah 1 speaks of this. The moral sickness that we see in our nation. Who's going to fix that? Who's going to be appointed the moral czar that comes in and really gives us good healing, morally speaking? One final one from Hannity's program, number 15.
The NIH does not spend money really on its examining basic preventive measures, how to sleep better, how to manage stress. RFK Jr. has focused a lot of his attention on these kinds of issues. It doesn't get as much fanfare as people keep whining about his vaccine stance.
You know, just speaking of all of these agencies that have failed the people, broken government. This was reported over the weekend as well from Fox News. The Pentagon failed its seventh consecutive audit on Friday as the agency was unable to fully account for its massive $824 billion budget. But yeah, we don't know where the money goes. Nearly a trillion comes in and, you know, some of it disappears. That's to be expected. I mean, we're government, right? We're with the federal government and we're here to help. Can't pass an audit. It says here, though officials were confident, the Department of Defense has turned a corner in understanding its budgetary challenges going forward. They're always there, the spokespeople. They're always there to say, no, yeah, we've learned some lessons. We know how to do it perfectly going forward. And the record, the fruits. It speaks for itself. The audits resulted in a disclaimer of opinion, which means auditors were provided with insufficient information to form an accurate opinion of the accounts. It's embarrassing, isn't it? These are the older leaders, the representatives, the business suits. And they're just running these agencies into the ground. America's paying something like $1 trillion a year just on the interest that we owe because of our debt. How does this get solved? How does this get healed? This is from Slate. It says there are a lot of reasons for the change in reaction for Trump's second victory. First of all, his election was not a surprise. Well, it's just showing basically why he's so much better received now than he was in 2016. Remember all of the liberal heads exploding and screaming in the streets at the thought of Donald Trump becoming president? Now you look at the cold open we played today. Seems like a lot of people are quite happy about it. Quite excited about it. In 2016, the mandate for an opposition movement was simple: stopping the agenda of an ill-prepared, inexperienced president. In 2024, it is much broader: beating back a well-orchestrated conservative plan to usher us into a punitive authoritarianism, all under the control of a Supreme Court and federal judiciary packed with right-wing Trump loyalists. This is Slate, keep in mind. They're worried. There's people at the DOJ that are lawyering up because they're terrified at the thought of someone like Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz doesn't get through? Who would be in line? Probably someone like the AG in Texas, Paxton. We'll see. But it is different. This time around, he's got a mandate. This time around, people aren't shocked. This time around, a lot of people expected it. This time around, you've got Morning Joe. And you've got Joe and Mika crawling to Mar-a-Lago, begging for mercy. This was interesting. It's a story from Reuters about a Trump aide that told a UK representative, look, don't look so much to the EU. You got to saddle up with the MAGA movement, with Trump. I mean, there's new leadership in D.C. Reuters says here, a senior economic advisor to U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has said Britain should align itself with the U.S. on trade rather than pursue closer ties with the European Union. Speaking on BBC Radio, Stephen Moore said the EU had a socialist model and suggested the U.S. would be less interested in a free trade deal with Britain if the government put its economic relations with the EU ahead of those with the U.S. Now, this is, of course, worth watching because of what it says in Hosea 5 about the Ephraimites. Ephraim, which is the U.K. today, and all of the Commonwealth nations, that they're going to follow along the way of Jeroboam. My father writes of this in our booklet on the subject of Jeroboam. What commandment is that talking about? It's speaking of Hosea 5 and verse 11. You'll have to go and look at that later. The Jeroboam booklet, by the way, that's at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can also call our operators, like I said earlier, if you want to get a hard copy of it. But you can get right to it today. And it's in chapter 1, this quote that I'm giving to you. It says, the commandment of Jeroboam, who changed God's holy days, perverted the religious worship, and led the nation into idolatry. It says further on, now that the UK has decided to break away from Europe, it will be, this was writing following Brexit back in 2016, again, dramatic news that we at thetrumpet.com, I mean, we were right on top of these developments, these stories, even the lead up to Donald Trump's first term. Tomorrow's news today, right? It says this will probably result in it following Jeroboam's lead into disaster. Again, it's celebration time now. Where will we be in 2 years' time? In 3 years' time, in 4 years' time. Well, you can see why God says that we need to keep watching, to watch and pray. Don't forget that. Watch and pray always. I mean, we have so much more. I was commenting over the weekend again. God's saints, so many of them throughout the ages, scattered, on the run, persecuted. And obviously living in times before the age of information and all of this technology that we've seen over the last century, and how that we can actually get a pretty good perspective of what's happening all over the world. There's a lot of, noise that can distract us. But the point of it is we're able to watch in ways that the saints of old never were able to watch. And following that, as Herbert Armstrong said, 90% of Bible prophecy is for our time today. So much of it's being fulfilled. God said he would bring Jeroboam back. That's happened. God said he would silence Antiochus. That's happened, from the American Thinker this morning. The Obamas get their comeuppance. You wouldn't have seen an article like this 5-6 years ago. The one person who knew that the Joe Biden presidency was something other than Obama's third term was Barack Obama. If Obama had any illusions about his control over events, he was rudely disabused of them on July 21, 2024. This was the Sunday on which Biden dropped out of the presidential race and endorsed Kamala Harris. The announcements caught Obama flat-footed. And again, there's some, differing opinions on whether or not Obama wanted Kamala in there or that he was caught surprised because Joe Biden stabbed him in the back. and went and endorsed. And I mean, if you remember that, Biden endorsed Kamala, I think within a half hour. And it took Barack and Michelle 4 or 5 days before they finally came around to, you know, stage that phone call where they showed this unwavering support for Kamala. It says here the endorsement of Harris, also on X, came at 1:13 p.m. The media have expressed no curiosity about the 27-minute gap. If pressure had been brought on Biden to endorse Harris, the Obamas weren't the ones bringing it. It says the Clintons are another story. It says at 2:10 p.m., Bill and Hillary posted a joint statement on X declaring, "We are honored to join the president in endorsing Vice President Harris." They got right on board with the fake president. Everybody's behind Kamala, except for the Obamas. It took them a number of days. And in the press, you know, morning meltdown, they seem so utterly, they're not curious about it at all. These are explosive stories. Obama being silenced. You used to worship him. That seems like a pretty big transition. That seems like a pretty, like a fundamental transformation, in fact. Seems like Obama has been blotted out. Finally, on July 26, Barack and Michelle announced, "We couldn't be more excited for her." Brother, we couldn't be more excited. It says, when the tactic, this is further down, when the tactic backfired, Obama ended the campaign and the Obama era, the way he began his career, peddling racial hoaxes. He's talking about when he lectured those black men at that one campaign stop in, I think, Pennsylvania. With a Trump administration in power, we might see more than the dismantling of the DIE regime that has sustained the Obamas throughout their careers. We might also see behind the curtain of the Russia collusion hoax and the other chicanery that bear Obama's fingerprints. His fingerprints are all over it. He's fundamentally transformed the United States, or very, very nearly completed this transformation, which means blotting out even the name of Israel. It says, for the 20 years of his public life, Obama's stature as a black icon protected him from serious media scrutiny. On November 5, the iconoclast prevailed. It is time to start hammering. In other words, he's been silenced. This is the end of the Obama coalition. Just stunning, stunning prophecies. Prophecies that make your head spin as we see them fulfilled right before our eyes. I'll leave off. I don't usually do this. I'm going to leave off a minute early. Sorry. We'll give you that extra minute at some later date. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.